This evening's readings is a selection of Proverbs from the sheet that you should have been given when you came in. Proverbs 10:19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Proverbs 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 15:1-4. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 18:20-21. From the fruit of their mouth a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The last one is from Matthew 12:36-37. I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned.
Thanks, Lottie. That's fantastic. My name's Stephen. Lovely to see you here this evening. We're looking at these themes in Proverbs, and we'll get on to today's one in a minute. But first, has anyone been stopped at an airport for carrying something illegal before? Come on, hands up. Let's see. Yes. Love it. Here's the list in case you lost it. Anyone like carried deodorant in by accident? Any nail scissors? Worst of all, any toothpaste? Like, I find it ridiculous. You can take your golf clubs on a plane, but you can't take toothpaste. Right? What's going to cause more damage? A 9-iron or Aquafresh? You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. Anyway, but if you've been caught with that, you do the walk of shame, don't you? It beeps and you go, oh no. Go to the side and they frisk you down. If it's your bag, it goes into the aisle of shame. Beep. And they take everything out looking for those weapons. Guys, I think if we're taking the Bible seriously, if we're reading Proverbs properly, then every single one of us should be banned from ever going on a flight ever again. Because every single one of us carries with us a weapon more deadly, I think, than anything on that list. Right? We carry something that can crush the spirit. We carry something that can slice and dice like a sword. We carry something that can burn and sizzle like a flaming arrow of death. Stick your tongues out. Come on, BH. Thank you. One person. Come on, more of you. Let's see your tongues. Whoa. Easy. I'm unarmed. Tongues away. See, Proverbs is telling us that our tongues are dangerous and powerful. Check out Proverbs 18, verse 21 that Lottie read to us so brilliantly. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Our words are powerful. More powerful than I think we realize. That proverb is telling us that, not exaggerating, but our tongue can cause untold damage. And maybe we felt those painful words that kind of hang over us, those insults, those harmful things. But it can also cause beauty and life to grow. And maybe you've had that kind of kind word at the right time, in the right tone, in the right place, that's lifted you up and made you feel like, woo! Like, words are powerful, aren't they? And it makes sense, because, I mean, our God's powerful and his word's powerful. The first thing we kind of learn about God in the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said, God's a speaking God. And when he speaks, powerful, beautiful things happen. Like our world, underlying it all, is God's word. It's weaved into the fabric of creation. It makes sense that because his word's powerful, people made in his image, our word's powerful too. And think about it too. His word's important. Like when God's choosing how to communicate with human beings, tiny little human beings, he chooses his word. His word tells us what his heart is like, so much so that we can communicate with him and get to know him through his word. Same with us. Our words are important and tell us kind of what we're like. Isn't that what Jesus says in Matthew 12? Have a little look at it. Jesus says, I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted and by your words you'll be condemned. Jesus is kind of saying that our words act like a window into our soul. They show on the outside what we're like on the inside. So much so that God's kind of got a book of every word we've ever spoken, every word we've ever typed or put on social media, and he can use that to tell us exactly what we're like, that he can judge us, and we'll either be condemned or set free. That's a scary thought. Every single word counts. And we human beings, we say a lot of words in our life. Between 10 and 20,000 words a day, 365 days a year, 80.3, that's the rough life expectancy of someone in the UK. Anyone do the maths of how many words we're going to say in our lifetime on average? Mathematicians, go on. Looking around, don't mind, I'll tell you, 439 million words on average. 439 million words. 439 million opportunities to bring life or to bring death. Oh, and that's just the words we speak out of our mouths. Right? We type and post about 136,000 words a year, and they count too. Every single word counts. No wonder it's such a massive theme in the book of Proverbs. Roughly one in every six verses in Proverbs is about words and language and tongues and mouths. That's crazy. That's 150 verses of Proverbs about our mouths. It's a big deal. And we're going to read every single one of them. No, we're not. We're going to look at three things, or four things. We're going to look at what foolish words sound like, what wise words sound like, the greatest word ever spoken, and then we're going to kind of wrap up by saying, how can we learn to speak wisely? And we'll start by looking at foolish words. And I'll need Joe's help for this. So, Joe, do you want to come up here? Thanks. Give him a clap as he comes down. There he is. Yeah, come on, Joe. Good man. Do you want to stand over here? This is kind of how I think our tongues can cause death and damage.
Thanks, loser.
Shut up. No one likes you.
Joe's laughing. The last time he was up here, we were all shouting, crucify him. So I feel quite bad. Joe, you're amazing. Let's just give him a clap. That's brilliant. Thank you, Joe. Getting hit by boxers. Wow, for the job. What a man. But if we could see the physical impact of our words, we'd see something like that, right? I'm sure all of us have felt the pain of words that sit really deeply. Like maybe the places where we work or our homes are places where we only hear negative criticism and abuse. That takes its toll. That wounds our hearts, our mental and physical health. It hurts. Because words are powerful. They can hurt so badly. And actually, not just the words that are said to us, but the words we say to ourselves too. If we weave a negative narrative about ourselves, that weighs us down so heavily. Our words have power. It's good for us to watch what we say, because every word counts. But we're going to look at three different types of foolish words that Proverbs speaks about over and over again. Look, gossip, lies, and rash words. Gossip is kind of someone who loves to be in the know and loves kind of sharing false or true information that isn't theirs to share, and loves everyone coming to them. But underneath the surface, gossip is kind of someone sitting in the seat of power, sitting in God's place, deciding who should know what when, saying, everyone come to me, I know it all. And it's dangerous. When we went to Woolly Fair a couple of years ago, it was during that massive heat wave, do you know, when everything looked like green turned brown, remember that time? And I drove up there with like 500 pounds worth of fireworks in my car, because we had this massive celebration planned, like a firework bonfire, it's going to be amazing. And we get there, and the school are like, no thanks. There is no way you're lighting fireworks on this, because one little spark and our whole pitch, cricket pitch, will be lit up like a bonfire. That's kind of the picture in Proverbs 26, verse 20. It says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Gossip is like that small spark. When it's uttered, it spreads. And it's impossible to contain. And it does cause damage, doesn't it? We saw that with William and Kate over Easter and the impact of slanderous, gossiping words, didn't we? And actually, the sad thing is that it sometimes happens in church too. This is a great call for us to check our own hearts and go, oh, Do I love to be in the know? Am I someone who loves people coming to learn information from me? And equally, when we hear gossip, it's good for us to know what it is and then to stop it out. Because, again, 26 verse 20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Like cutting out a source, like taking the fire away from the wood away from a fire, stops it burning. Empty words. That's gossip. But let's move on to lies. I think we kind of downplay lying a bit in our culture, don't we? We think, oh, it's no big deal, just not telling the truth. But actually, I think lying is a bit more like Lego. Anyone love Lego? Yes, yes. It's amazing. Amazing because you can build your own world, can't you? You kind of create like a dinosaur with a police station made out of yellow and red and blue and white and green bricks. Like, whoa. And then there's like Captain America there riding a dolphin. Amazing. It's your world. And they live in your world and do what you want them to do. Isn't that what lying is, actually? At its heart, it's us recreating the world for someone else to live in. We're painting a fantasy world and letting them come into it and saying, haha, this is what life's like, when it's not. And did you see how strong God is against lying? Proverbs 12, verse 22, it says, the Lord detests lying lips. Because Proverbs 26, verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates those it hurts. Because we're taking someone out of God's world and putting them in our world where we're God. Much better to be, verse 22 of chapter 12 says, the Lord delights in people who are trustworthy. God loves trustworthy lips. Every word counts. Let's use them to speak the truth. The last thing is kind of rash words. These are words spoken in haste. When we kind of just say it, Proverbs 15 verse 2. It says, the mouth of the fool gushes folly. It's like a torrent of words. Lots of them are empty words that don't mean anything. But some of them, verse 18 of chapter 12 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. It's like when we shout these reckless words without thinking what we're saying. We're swinging a sword around, not caring who we hit or how we hurt them, who we take down with it, right? I'm sure most of us can remember kind of sitting in bed with our head in our hands just thinking, why did I say that? I wish I could take it back, that heat of the moment thing. Every word counts. And God wants us to think through the words that we say. But you look at that list, gossip, lies, rash words. Doesn't that sound like 2024? Right? What word gossip is rebranded as caring? And telling the truth, where lies are okay for me if it gets me kind of if it gets me out of trouble, if it works on my terms. But if someone else lies to me, oh man, they're gonna feel my wrath, especially someone in authority. Whoa! And then rash words. You look on social media, and the instantaneous battles and responses that go on there. Like, whoa, it's chaos. We live in a place where words are cheap, but God says every single word counts, and these foolish words are dangerous. They're dangerous, aren't they? Because they take us back to the first foolish word ever spoken. When God created a really good and beautiful world, out of his words, he told Adam and Eve, he said, guys, trust my word, and things will be good for you. You'll have life. And into that world, the devil slithered in. With his forked tongue, whispering his lies, attacking, assaulting God's character, his gossip, his slander. And God's word made the world. Satan's word comes and starts breaking it apart. See, those three things, gossip, lies, rash words, or boasting, we could add quarreling, all the other things in Proverbs, they're so dangerous because they're devil speak. That's what they are. They're not minor things. And I do not want to sound like him, right? Do you? And I think this has kind of made me like check my own heart and check my own lips and see what I'm saying. One great way of doing that, by the way, is using Proverbs 26:17 to 28. It's got a whole list of ways we use our tongues. Use that to kind of check yourself and see how you use your voice. Use it this week. Because every word counts. But maybe at this point you're thinking, oh man, I better like tape my mouth up nice and slap, and I'm not going to say anything ever again. I'm scared now. Remember the other half of our kind of main verse, 18:21. The tongue has the power of life. We're going to get Joe back up here. Joe, don't worry. It's not pain this time. Oh, he's smiling. Oh, Joe, I feel really sorry. Come on, Joe. You got this. I'll move this all out of the way. Great. See, the tongue has the power of life as well as death. And when we say positive, beautiful words, something incredible starts happening.
Joe, thanks.
You're a legend. Nice press. Love your hair.
Oh, look at him. Give him a big clap. There he is. See, our positive words, they can build someone up, can't they, and make us feel like brilliant. And hopefully you've felt the life-giving joy of a word spoken at the right time in the right place. Proverbs calls these wise words. And so let's have a little look at the character of those. Chapter 15, verse 1, it says, a gentle word answer turns away wrath. Chapter 16, verse 24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. It's lovely, isn't it? It's this picture of speaking graciously and gently and calmly. And that heals. I mean, when has shouting or yelling ever been called like healing to the bones, you know? But gentle words, it can diffuse situations. It can lift someone up and build them up. It can deliver hard truths that need to be told in a way that is loving and kind. I wonder if someone heard you speak, would they call your words honeycomb, sweet to the soul, gentle and gracious? Because that's what God wants. That's wise words. Also, wise words know when to speak and when not to speak. I love this little one. Proverbs 27, verse 14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it'll be taken as a curse. Right? That there's a time and a place for our words. The same thing said at different times can cause different right reactions, can't it? And so wise people know when to speak. And actually, the rule there is, I speak when it blesses you, not when it blesses me. And often it's better to be quiet. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool is thought wise if they keep silent and discerning if they hold their tongues. Because when we're quiet, we've got more time to listen to people. Are you known as a listener or as a speaker? Do you know how to slow your own voice down so you can listen to someone else? Every word counts. And then there's kind of the what of we say, and well, it's lovely. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Oh, our words have to be kind and encouraging, like this, lifting someone up. It reminds me of this guy here. This is an Orwell One legend, Scott Bamber. What a man. I phoned him earlier on this week. If you don't know him, this guy, whenever I speak to him, I leave feeling like properly buzzing and excited because he makes a serious effort of praising you in every conversation. And he, when you talk to him, you just feel like alive and lifted up. He's brilliant with his words and he uses them so well. Absolute legend. And like, I want to be known like that, as someone who lifts others up, who lights up their world by walking in. Someone who is like stingy in criticism but lavish in praise. Because a small little word of encouragement can go a really long way. And it got me thinking, how often do people hear encouragement from my mouth? Like every word counts. Because ultimately, wise words don't sound like Scott Bamber. They sound like the Lord God Almighty, don't they? They sound like our God. The words we speak tell us whose children we are, right? And when we speak wise, gracious, beautiful, gentle, kind words, we're speaking like our God and showing how brilliant he is. See, we have 439 million opportunities to show that God is our Father and we love him. Because God's the one who uses his word to bring life, isn't he? Think about the greatest way God uses his word. As I've been going through this, it hit me, Matthew 12, that's a scary verse. It's a scary verse because I look at that and I'm like, I'm in serious trouble. I use my words terribly. I hurt people with my words. I'm going to be judged for that. I think if we're all serious, we look at Matthew 12, 36, 37, and we are like, oh, I'm in trouble. My words are going to judge and condemn me. So what does God do? He sends his word, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, sin is not ended by the multiplying of words. No, but it is ended by our God sending his word. Right? Jesus comes into the world and dies on the cross for people who use their tongues terribly. He is the perfect spoken word who brings life. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life. It's this picture of Eden, a picture of paradise, of things as they should be. See, just as like Satan's words broke our world, Jesus, God's word, heals our world and brings us into perfect relationship with the living God again. I love it. God uses his word to bring life to those who trust in the Lord Jesus. And I want to sound like that. He is the word who is true life for those who trust him. But he also is death for those who ignore him. So I wonder, like, how are you listening to him? God uses his word to bring beautiful life. So the question that kind of remains is, how can we do that? Well, it reminds me a little bit of this little one here. This is my daughter, Cassie, wearing her duck outfit. Thanks, Alfie. Oh, she's 8 weeks old, right? And apparently, we've got all these baby books, which tell us that at 8 weeks old, she can start to kind of learn to speak, and we're like, whoa, this is big. Right? And the way she learns to speak, you hold her and you go, e, 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 e. And then she responds with e, e, sometimes. Or you go, ah, 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 and then she just looks at you blankly. No, but the idea is, like, you speak, and then she mimics and copies it. She learns her language from the way that I speak to her. Oh, supposedly. It's not going great, but we'll get there. But it's true, isn't it? As human beings, we learn the language from those who are around us. You know, like parents, have you ever kind of heard your child say something and gone, where did they learn that? Right? I'm sure that's a common phrase because it happens. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 4. I found this as I was kind of going through Proverbs. A little nugget in there that says, a wicked person listens to deceitful lips, and a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. You notice that a fool, a wicked person, listens to liars, and a liar listens to a wicked person. It's a vicious circle. The voices that surround you shape the voice that you speak. Or as this guy David Matthews put it, he said, whom you hear with delight today will become who you become like tomorrow. So, how do we speak wisely, church family? Well, it's all about who we're listening to. What are the voices that are big and formative in your ears? What podcasts, what kind of music, what kind of Netflix shows or messages or people around you, what voices are you hearing? Like, it's no surprise if we're watching angry, swearing things that our voices start to sound like that. And so if we want to have wise voices, we fill our head with God's wisdom. If we want to sound like the living God, we fill our head with his voice. That's why it's so beautiful and so brilliant to get into his word, because the more we read it, the more we understand it, the more we love it, the more we'll sound like him. And my God is someone I want to sound like. So kind of, as we end, BH, every word counts. Words are super powerful. So one last time, stick your tongues out. Yes. Yes, there we go. See, using that, you have the power of life and death. Use that wisely. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that you've given us such power. We pray that we'll be wise wielders of our tongues, and we would use our words and our mouths to bless and build up and save and bring life like you've used your mouth and your words to. Father, forgive us for where we use them foolishly. and help change us to sound more and more like our Heavenly Father day after day. Amen.